understands is Jesus. That's funny.
Shout out JC.
Let's get to it, man. Leon.
What's good, family? Welcome to a Modern Hoops podcast show, the freshest opinions and views from the world's most beautiful game. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm here with the homies, the squad, the best three in the building. We run in half today. We don't go full court on three. That's nasty behavior. My boy TK, Dunkman Keith, how we feeling, boys?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. This absence of basketball is really irritating.
It's only been, what, 3 days?
But I kind of regretted my Warriors in six pick only because I want one more game of basketball.
Just because you were right.
It would have been tomorrow. It would have been game seven. It would have been Sunday. I'm like, yeah. Game seven, Sunday? That just sounds right.
Nah, it does.
But, hey, whatever.
Nah, man. We always want a game seven. We always want a game seven. And the fact that we didn't get one ain't our fault. Our fault, man. We don't blame somebody. Blame Boston.
Yeah. Facts.
Blame the city of Boston for saying Ayesha Curry can't cook, man.
They should have said Jason Tatum can't cook. Nah, that's my one Jason Tatum joke. That one was just too easy. that one was just too easy to bring out.
The lane was open. I get it.
I actually don't have a problem with the way that he played. Like a lot. Well, of course he could have played better. Excuse me. That was just my one Jason Tatum joke, and we'll get to that later.
Okay.
He doesn't deserve slander, but I had to give him something.
No, man. That was an easy lay. What can you say? Lane was open. But yeah, man. Game six is over. We have champs. Golden State Warriors have won their fourth ring in 8 years.
Back at it.
Everyone
back
on this pod it. Was correct in terms of how that happened. I said five. After watching this, it could have been five. I said five. Tamon said six. I think Brian said six as well.
I think Lee went seven.
So, yeah, everybody in the room was right, which allows us to do this where we can beat up the new, the old media. We'll do that later.
Yeah. We could be a team.
Yeah. When the last time we've been a team?
Bro, what? What do you mean? Lee got beat up off the Clippers tape when they dropped 3-1. Brian tried to skedaddle all his takes. Like, yeah. When the last time we all collectively, it's usually when a life thing happens, actually. You know what's crazy? I got a phone call the other day. A homie of mine, Malik, grew up. He went to Luma Holden with us, actually.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Greg doesn't remember anybody, but it's okay.
You went to middle school with me.
My memory is just okay.
But he had called me. He was like, I always appreciate how, like, while it's a basketball pie, y'all touch on other things. I think those other things is the only time we're all, like, literally as a team, right now.
Yeah, I think, because we definitely didn't agree on Brooklyn. We definitely didn't agree on the Clippers.
Nope.
We definitely didn't agree on the Lakers.
Nope.
This is it. This is it. Yeah. We all knew the Warriors.
Every year we were like, if the Warriors are healthy, everybody was like, you know what? You're right. If they are healthy.
That's true. That was the consistency in all of the other takes.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, Boston, cool, but if the Warriors are healthy.
Yeah.
The Clippers are cool, but if the Warriors are healthy. Right. The Nets are cool, but if the Warriors are healthy.
There it is, man. And they were healthy, y'all. They were healthy.
Healthy enough.
Everyone was here, man, for the most part. Shoot, James Wiseman still hasn't played.
Hey, he got those finals picks though. Fire for the rest of his life.
Crazy, man. But game six, Golden State wins against Boston 109 to, I believe. Let me get the stats up.
I think it's 103-90. They won by 13. I think I noticed specifically because I almost placed an in-game bet that the margin would be between 11-15. Would have won me like $300, and I didn't place it. Talked myself out of it.
Yeah, we definitely need to get a FanDuel ad.
Because
all your you drop all of your
your picks. Do you know half the DMs I get about basketball are like bets? It's people like, so people we'll drop a clip like, and they'll be like, all right, but what do you think about Jordan Poole's money line on? And I'll tell people, I'm like, you know what you should do? 15 and a win for Jordan Poole. And they're like, 15 and a win this game? That's like plus 650. Guess who made money? Me. Because you know how much he scored? 15.
We need to get inside a trade.
Facts.
Hey, anybody that wants bed naps, not just FanFool, Anybody.
MGM, yeah.
Anybody.
FanDuel,
MLM, Caesars. We here, bro. Right. We here. Mm-hmm. Right. We here, man. We'll shout y'all out. Yeah. We got 30 seconds to give.
Yeah. Drive pod, Queens. This pod doesn't have to be
2 hours long.
Right, right. Bruh, behind the Little Caesars on Mechanicsville. You, anybody.
Anybody. Anybody with an ad, bro. We got you. We
any of these corner stores with dice games?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rosie's, what's up? That's a Richmond joke. I'm sorry.
I have no idea who's been yet, besides my brother.
But oh man, 103-90, you were correct on the score. Golden State finishes the game. Steph Curry drops 34-7-7 with 2 steals, with 6 threes. Klay Thompson has 12 points. He struggled, but still poured in 12 points with 5 rebounds, 2 steals himself. Draymond Green probably had his best game of the series, 12-12-8 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Did his mama proud, man. Talk about it, man, because, hey.
Hey. She had to let him know.
He had another bad game if he wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
He would be a timeout.
When your mama say something, yeah.
Oh, man. Wiggins, 18.6 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks. And then Jordan pulled off the bench with 15 points. And then, oh my bad, can't leave out GP2 and Loon, who both had decent games playing in their role. 6 points from Peyton, 3 steals, and then Loon with 7 boards. Great game for Golden State. Coming back, I think down 12 in the first, started off really slow. I think the 12-point
deficit. Oh yeah, it was nasty at first, and I was like, oh.
Yeah. I think the beautiful part about that was we got to see that championship pedigree show itself.
Yep. For the win.
No, you didn't have the lead right away. You didn't come in blowing them out.
If you wasn't at home.
And the idea of the Celtics not being up for this game isn't a thing. They took the first punch, gave it to Golden State. Golden State came back, punched them in the mouth. And really, the Celtics never got their footing the rest of the game. That was essentially it. Never got their footing.
They tried to make some rallies, come back. You know, basketball is a game of runs, but it's just how you quiet those runs. So I was actually very cool with Curry's rotations, protecting the lead. They closed out. They did what they had to do. Watching that game, the whole time you were kind of holding your breath like, they're not going to chase this lead down. Like, it just, you kind of felt it in the air. I think the fans felt it.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was that second quarter. That 27-17 second quarter.
When Al Horford was that's when I realized that when Al Horford had took the scoring load for like 6 minutes straight for the Celtics is when.
I was looking, I said, oh man, I said, Steph is awake. I think he drilled a 3, leaning left, off balance, knocked it down in the corner. Like, he already knew that this was wraps. This was happening. This was wraps. And I think Boston, in terms of the fans, knew.
Well, everybody knew.
The only person that was denying it, at least from what I've heard in during the game, was Jaylen Brown. In the huddle. And he was like, hey, I don't know why your heads are down. Like, let's go.
Well, I mean, he had 34. His head went down.
No, he was there.
And if it was down, it was straight at the rim.
Like, he definitely showed up as best as he could.
Best as he could.
34 points, 7 rebounds.
Yeah, that's how you have a closeout loss. No lie. That's how you go out.
5 from 11 from 3. He took all the shots he had to shoot. 23 shots.
Should have took more.
Probably. Jason Tatum won't take him. 13 points. I'll take that back. He shot 18 times. 13 points, 7 assists, 3 steals from Jason Tatum. 19 points and 14 rebounds from Al Horford.
Shout out to him. He was like 6-for-8 from 3.
Marcus Smart struggled.
4-for-5, excuse me.
Struggled. 9.6 assists, 9 rebounds, 2 steals on 4-for-12. Robert Williams had 10-7. And then nothing really from the bench. Only 5 points from the bench all night. Derek White couldn't hit anything. Grant Williams only took 2 shots. What happened. I mean, we kind of said it last episode that I said the fear is law of averages play out.
Yep.
And it hits them at the wrong time.
And that 3-point shooting, when those joints start clanking.
Yeah, bro.
That's what I said. When Al Horford, mind you, I think at one point he had scored 9 straight points for the Celtics, and they were all off trays. and this was to try to keep the lead with like an 11 or something like that. Excuse me if I'm misplacing it.
Right.
But that's a huge issue. No disrespect to Al Horford, but this is game 6 of the NBA Finals, and he's the one trying to close the gap for y'all
right.
in these major ways, to the point where y'all are, it's looking as if y'all are running the offense through mm-hmm. him. So, I mean, all credit to the Warriors, of course. We discussed this last pod, how I said, like, I can't really fault anybody for losing this series. I picked the Warriors, but this is why I always say, too, when we speak about Steph tapping that ring finger,
mm-hmm.
is I always say, who's the best player in the series? Regardless of who has the better team, who's the best player in the series, I'm going to always give them a chance, because games like this really matter, where they can carry an effect and demoralize not only the opposing team, but the bench and the fans, the entire stadium,
right.
the fans at home. Everybody feels the energy getting sucked out of the entire arena
yeah.
in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Like, that is a killer. That's what we look at when we say babyface assassin.
Yeah.
Yeah, grown man beard now, but the energy still exists. So
It was definitely a crowning moment for Steph. And I don't want to rush too soon to get to Steph, because we got so much to talk about in terms of him. But I do want to take a moment to address how people are referring to Jason Tatum. And while Jason Tatum played bad, pretty much.
He played bad.
This was a rough series.
Yeah.
Rough series for sure. And I went back and I looked at, because I made the example of this series felt akin to at one point, and then I corrected once you brought it up, saying how Kevin Durant actually scored 30 that series.
Yeah.
Versus Miami.
Yeah, he led them all in scoring.
Right. I said, oh, this is
like
not
both
that.
Teams.
This
yeah.
is not that. Like, Jason Tatum did not show
he averaged
himself.
What, 23, granted, 23, 7, and 7.
Yeah.
But off of horrible shooting splits.
Horrible splits.
Like, you, literally, this is the most, this is one of the few times I've really seen it where you shoot drastically worse from 2. Than from 3.
Yeah.
And I haven't checked the percentages after that last game, mm-hmm. which I'm sure didn't help either side of the arc. But yeah, he shot the ball horribly. He played hard, but it was just one of them ones, man.
Yeah, I think yeah, so he averaged 21 points.
21 yeah.
points, 45% from 3, 36 from the field. Yeah. Like, and this is why I'm saying this. This is why I brought this up. Because the media and the energy right after the game was, Jason Tatum looked out of it. Jason Tatum looked like he didn't want to be there. Jason Tatum felt disengaged.
Jason Tatum was in a Kawhi Leonard-ish hell with Andrew Wiggins guarding him the entire series.
Thank you.
What do you mean? They made it tough for him. They had versatile defenders.
It was a long day.
Oops,
it was a long day at work with him, bro. Andrew Wiggins was so impressive on that side.
Oh, for sure.
And granted, we can talk about how he essentially elevated himself as a two-way. He showed why he should have been an all-star. Maybe not an all-star starter,
nah, I'm cool with
but
it.
An all. He this series, he showed he's an all-star player, and he deserved that honors because, man, anytime he had to guard either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum in a critical moment, he
stepped
did
up,
it,
man. He stepped
and
up.
He was successful.
He was not fazed by any of the shots that they did hit off yep. the tough defenses. He didn't get lost out there. If he got beat, he just got right back to it. Wasn't a whole lot of complaining to the refs.
Right.
This man is looking like the ultimate glue guy on the wing, on the road. He's everything I said that the Warriors needed and why that trade made so much sense back then. Back when
right.
people were questioning his heart, I said, if he's going to get 22 points, 23 points with the Minnesota Timberwolves,
right.
and granted, you know how I speak about certain organizations. The Wolves, the Kings, the mm-hmm. Knicks. It's just places where I don't feel like talent develops as well there as they do at the rest of the league. So
right.
you got this new guy who they were calling, like, you know, Maple Jordan.
And this is the first
he was Canadian
overall,
Kobe.
We all deem this as the first overall talent.
He was A-Wiggs. Like, he was doing the number one overall things. It was just in a market where they weren't winning and nobody cared. So now when you have a little light on it a little bit more, and you don't need him to go out there and average 22, 23. You can say, Wiggs, no pressure. Go out there and just be the talent that you are. You're going to see this phenomenal role-playing superstar type of role.
Yeah, and it was, like I said, watching people be dismissive. And I think that's the thing that I don't like. And it'll pop up in my in and out a little bit, because I'll talk about it a little bit in regards to Steph Curry. But I don't like how dismissive people have been to what Golden State has achieved and what they had done on the court, and then what they are saying about the other situations. Like Windhorse for ESPN saying, like, oh, well, they just cut the really big check, so they're supposed to be here.
Yeah, I heard that, I was like, yo, fam, shut up, like, bro.
That's nasty.
Shut up. That's so nasty. Toxic. Like, that is the worst thing ever.
Like, we don't want to credit the coach for making great decisions. We don't want to credit the superstar for leading them here.
You
we don't
know
want
who
to credit
I
want to
credit? And you, what GM I always the, wanted to credit the, about the Warriors? The owners for cutting the check for those luxury taxes and things like that. Those are things that other owners have the ability to do. So it's not like they're cheating by paying these people.
No,
like,
it definitely came off like
they paid for the ring.
Like, it's an unfair advantage. Yeah. I'm like, anyone in the league has this option.
Y'all billionaires, open y'all check. Like, what are y'all talking about? Are we really going to say boo-hoo? Oh, no, they don't have money to pay for players like we do. What do you mean? This is literally professional sports.
Right.
You open your checkbook to win. Now, if you don't have to, now that's great. That's even better. But right. You're not going to – I don't want to hear you kicking that nonsense about a team that's willing to.
Right. But it comes off in a really nasty way, because you disregard the fact that when
they're
cutting
homegrown
the
too.
they're cutting the check
to homegrown
you're
players.
You're cutting the check for a guy you developed.
Steph, homegrown. Draymond, homegrown. Klay, homegrown. You implement ways in the system when nobody believed in him.
Exactly.
Jordan Poole drafted. He's about to get the bag. So what are we really talking about?
Gary Payton has been on 10 different
he
teams.
He got cut by the Warriors twice.
Gary
Payton's
been
about
on
10
different
them.
Teams. Across the league and G League. Everyone has seen this guy play. But everyone had an opportunity.
When he got waived, you have to pass. All teams have to pass on you. So when the Warriors waived him, he had to get basically waived 29 other times.
To get back to that team.
And mind you, when he went back to them, the story is he was trying to get a video coordinating job.
Yep.
So I don't want to hear about people opening up.
Cutting the check. Like,
arguably, their second best perimeter defender now that Klay has taken, you know, respectful that step back after the injuries. We're talking about them paying for cutting checks when three of those maxes are players that they drafted.
Literally.
Another max that is coming up is a player that they drafted. So, yeah, they cut the check to Andrew Wiggins. Boo-hoo.
It sounds like it sounds like you're mad. And this is why I've always compared them to the Spurs in a little bit of an extent. This is completely different, because I think they cut the check way more aggressively than the Spurs ever did.
Well, granted, and the CBA was different back then.
As well. Thank you. And I was
Tim Duncan would have got 250-something million too.
Exactly. And so, but in the ways of what Golden State is, it's like, how can we be mad that they brought someone in to do a job entry level and they got a promotion? You are pocket watching. Someone coming in on entry level,
but you know what's
taking in what needs to be done, assessing the landscape of the organization and doing. I would never see anything else. Who in what company, Keith? In what company looks at, like, say you work at a bank, all right? You work at a bank,
allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We don't know. You work at a bank. I work at Truist, right?
Different bank, yes.
Different bank.
Yes.
You over there, you get a bag.
I do.
Y'all doing y'all number one bank, whatever case may be.
Yes.
And then I'm over here saying, well, they cheated because they got Keith a bag. And so I don't know how to feel about that. We should pay Keith, but Keith never been over here. Like, what are we talking about?
They're not talking about anything. You're hating. Hating.
Keith never worked for us. All that he never seen was. This culture. He's only seen that culture, and he knows that culture is good. And he's spent the time there to say, you know, I want to stay in this culture, so I'm going to elevate my play. I'm going to elevate what I do so I can get the bag here.
You want to know what I think? If you pay certain players more, certain players perform better. If you have a winning type of culture where you reward those star players and they don't have this trade thing hanging over their head, or because we're talking about these guys, the Warriors core retiring there. Right. You know what I mean? Right. It's not like even if
which
Draymond
is foreign in this league,
and even if Draymond playing horribly, which in regular season games he's had, we've had these conversations of whether they were going to trade Draymond for years. Mm-hmm. There still doesn't feel a pressure there at all. It feels like they're home, and so when you can get the money and you can get that kind of feel and environment, maybe that helps towards winning. Right. And that just sending a check. Because if it was that easy, mm-hmm. if it was just a check, then a lot of other teams would have definitely done it and succeeded a lot more often. And then when I think about Brian Windhorst, especially him being the, such a brawn head and et cetera, I'm like, mm-hmm. bro, come on. When we talking about cutting checks, like granted, I understand those salaries weren't what they are now.
Yeah.
But you telling me that he didn't cut checks? Telling me the Cavs weren't cutting checks
right.
to people that I argue probably shouldn't have gotten paid. Like, I'm not going to say the names because right. I respect everybody getting their money. But in a basketball sense, I'm just saying 84 M's is a lot.
Whoever contract lot, was 84 M's
and,
at the
and
time.
Shout out to him for getting it. It's right.
Real, yes.
So in the sense of like of that aspect, You hating, bro, and I don't really care about that. What he really was saying is, man, we're about to have this Brian Curry talk, so I got to just take the shot that I can now, and he right. have nothing but that.
Right, he's shooting from half with your eyes.
Not even from half with his eyes. He's golfing with a basketball, like 94 feet,
and
with a putter.
And so I think that's the frustration that I had listening to them talk about, when the way they talk about Jason Tatum, and I don't think Jason Tatum was disengaged. I think he played as well as he could. I think he just did not have it this series. And I think that, like I said, Andrew Wiggins made it really difficult. And how Boston bounces back from that is very interesting because the odds of them getting back to the finals, really low. Really low. And I like Boston.
And I'm not talking about ever. I'm talking about next year.
Next year. Yeah. Next season. Next season.
Next year they drop drastic.
Like this.
Like
whole,
in the next 5 years, I expect them to be back.
Yeah, this whole conversation about like, oh, they're 24, they could just come bounce right back. Nah, fam. This is the league. Let's be honest. We said when we mentioned this a couple times already about the Eastern Conference. Yes, you bodied Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, swept them. Will that happen again? I am not ready to say that.
I put money against it.
I'm not ready to say
I
that.
I told
happened.
Y'all my breakdown of those four games. It was way closer than a sweep should be.
That's one. I do not expect a sweep again, and I expect KD to come back strong, ready to go.
And I expect something to happen with Ben Simmons' money situation. They either get rid of him and spread it out, or
right.
play him and he's just going to be a defensive free safety.
So that's Brooklyn. Then you got Milwaukee. Chris Middleton wasn't there. Let's be honest. Chris Middleton's the Milwaukee Bucks' best off-the-dribble guy in terms of, you know, mid-range perimeter.
If we're talking about skill scoring, yeah.
So, especially in terms of guard. Yeah. So
if no, we're talking about skill scoring, period.
So,
yeah.
So, boom. Giannis didn't have his number two. Drew was there, but the team wasn't flowing like it ought to have been flowing. They got to clean that up. So, that's essentially a reigning MVP, two reigning MVPs coming back, ready to go, full. And then you got the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat hate losing. I already saw them sitting down with Donovan Mitchell.
Don't let them get Donovan.
Bambis sat down with Donovan Mitchell.
And I know they are. Utah's going to fall in love with Tyler. Like they just think they're going to have that. We got to think about what we're talking about, too. We're talking about Utah.
So, and so... Very likely there's a Donovan Mitchell trade. And once again, I'm not no insider. I don't know who to talk to about these things. I could reach out and see, man. You know, as best as I can to the people that, you know, I see in spaces and certain places and all that in the third. But I would like to think that that's a real possibility. And Miami Heat comes back stronger. So guess what? Boston is not the favorite to get back to the East. It's not foregone conclusion. They do have time, but I would be urgent with this.
Yeah, I don't expect Al Horford to have the postseason that he had.
He had a great postseason, bro.
Shout out Al Horford. I ain't saying he's done, but like with every year and age takes a part,
you just got to think about it for some of these older players and when that significant drop off will actually be able to happen. But
I mean, we sat here and we saw how the rest of the world screamed Phoenix was going to be right back in the finals. We sat here and said, Phoenix, they got it. The team is deep. They got defenders and wings. They got a great point guard. They got a great two. They got a young big man who can board and hit shots from the inside, even from the mid-range a little bit, step out. It is not that easy, dog. It is not that easy. The NBA landscape is turning up a notch next season. Jamal Murray is going to be back. Kawhi is going to be back. Michael Porter Jr. is going to be back. Mm-hmm. Like, all across the board, the league is going to be difficult. This, hey, if I had a FanDuel, that ain't the bet I'm making, dog. That's not the bet I'm making. And if I am, it's a low bet for a big win.
I'm just telling you, you might as well burn your money.
So, that's that on Boston. They had a great season.
Congrats to them, man.
They did something really special all the way up to the finals, man. They helped make
this playoffs, like, so great. Like, so the East, watching the Eastern Conference this year was so much better than watching the West in terms of the playoffs. Just the playoffs.
I can agree with that.
The West had great playoffs, but, like, the East this year. The East
was better this year.
Boston Nets, Boston Bucks, Boston Heat. Some of the best series that we, and then Boston Warriors, obviously.
Yeah.
That was just a great run that I love to watch.
So they should not, once again, going back, this should not be hate. We should not be hating on Boston. They should be urgent about it, but they played a great, great postseason.
Yeah.
All the way up. We saw some great things from Tatum throughout, great things from Brown throughout.
Great coaching.
Shout out to Ime Udoka. Yeah. First year getting to the finals. It would have been great to see a black head coach win his first year. I don't even think it's ever been done. Like that stuff like that would have been really
good.
Got really close twice too,
because it would have been Herbert at UNC and then it would have been So that it would have been two runner ups. That would have been crazy, man.
So yeah, man. We can move on though. Golden State, it's all on you now, man. All on you. And they've been basking in this win as they should.
Oh yeah, they should. Throw them foes up. Like
basking in as they should, because the world told them outside of us. Because
I was about to say, as long as we're not including ourselves.
We're not the world, man. We're not the world today.
This is the first time we go four for four. Like, Keith, you had a prediction on that?
Nah, but I knew Warriors.
Five for five?
So we cooked this, and the world said that the window for the Golden State Warriors was closed. We had people like Kendrick Perkins. Nick Wright. I think Jason. Is it Jason Williams? No, not Jason Williams. Excuse me. Williams. Oh. Thank you. Jay Williams. There's a lot of voices in the media. I don't know why I put white chocolate in there like that. He don't deserve that.
Yeah, he was slandering Kobe, so I'm done with it.
So we got like all of that. All of these voices saying that the Warriors essentially. We're done, and here we are. Here we are. And Kendrick Perkins, excuse me, Draymond Green has been getting in his bag on everybody. He's let everyone know.
Oh, so yeah, he's even about the average even podcast. Steph
had a few moments during his postgame
interview. Yeah, for sure.
Like, just letting everyone know, like, look, man, we heard y'all talking, and here we are. And so you want to read this? Because you found it.
All right, so let's start with the Perk. Comeback. So Draymond addresses Perkins. You got fools like Kendrick Perkins come dressing like a clown, come up here in a jail suit, then you leave the game early tonight, Green said during his post-game press conference. Stand on your word, brother. You got to stand on that. I don't like leaving the game early as a reporter, as a member of the media, when you made a call. I do agree on Draymond. Draymond, what I love about this too, He stood on all his words because he podcasted after all those games. So for the fact that he was able to do that, Draymond, you can tell people to stay. He comes at Nick Wright.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably my favorite one because I dislike Nick Wright. just, you know, vehemently. He says to Nick Wright, Nick Wright comes out and says, Steph Curry, that's it. He'll never see the finals again. Andrew Wiggins, 3 years, $95 million left on his deal. Why would they go and do that? Worst trade, blah, blah, blah. I hope you're willing to stand on that word, brother. And I hope everybody else is, too, if you said something about A. Wiggs, because I believed in him. But that's the things that media members throughout the regular season and playoffs that I'm so glad is just being not even caught and, like, tweeted about, but your post-game press conference is like, hey, I want everybody to address all the blasphemous BS they said over the course of the last couple of months. Finally, he says, while he was recording his pod in TD Garden's media room,
which is wild,
pod and never stops, stand on that and tell us why you thought that. Tell us why this whole series you've been yapping and yapping, then all of a sudden you want to switch to the Dubs. Tell us why what's in question is your basketball knowledge. And that's what I love. I love that. I love the fact that it's like, no, you can't just make all these wild, outlandish takes and say whatever you want about these players, and then you get to do it next year and next year.
Away from the consequences.
Yeah, it's like, bro, eat this L. If you're constantly blatantly wrong,
right,
and you're spewing that ignorance to the public,
right,
then people like Draymond, who we speak on intelligence of basketball is so high, can call you out and say yours is in question. And I'm fine with that.
And
I can't do it as much, but Draymond definitely can, and I can stand behind him doing it.
Right. And I think that's the beautiful thing about what we're seeing from the players being so vocal this year. While, like I said, I was annoyed at the fact that Draymond Green understood how bad he was playing, and he kept potting about it. He kept apologizing. It's like, my bad, my bad. You keep apologizing for doing the same thing over and over. I need to be better.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I respect the fact that, no, he didn't stop potting. Like, thank you for continuing to stand on you in terms of, okay, this is what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to keep doing it, and I'm going to improve with this, you know, because I got no choice. I can't back away from this now. I can't disappear from this now. I put myself in this position. I need to rise above whatever that is.
Facts.
And he did that. Game 5 was better than game 4, 3, 2, and 1, if you ask me.
And game 6 was great.
Game 6 was great.
It was B minus, B plus.
So he definitely really played. Good. He definitely elevated his play with the criticism he got. Well, guess what, media? When you make a bad take, when you had a bad game, you need to come in, acknowledge it, and elevate your play. Elevate what you're saying. Elevate how you're going about looking at the game. Because that's the only way these guys are going to respect you.
Yeah, that's why I like how Draymond did it.
It wasn't a whole bunch of rah-rah. It was like, nah, fam.
It was also just his job is to play. But he also wanted to podcast. So he was like, I'm going to get better at what I'm doing to win this chip.
Facts.
And I'm also going to do what y'all suck at and show y'all, hey, I can do both of these and do them better than you.
No, one of my favorite comments by Draymond is he said about Chuck's job.
Yep.
Like, he was like, oh, that basically the job was waiting for him whenever he was done playing.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond is going to be crucial in the media cycle whenever he's done.
For sure.
He's going to get the dumbest of bags. Like, it's not going to be Tom Brady, LeBron James if he decides to go into the media after playing bad. Right. But I can see him becoming one of the highest paid sports analysts because he has that personality, that raw truth. And more so when he breaks down the game, he's not waving rings in front of your face and just saying I'm great and this and that. It's to the point where he's going to talk X's and O's. Mm-hmm. He's going to say this is culture. This is rotations. This is whatever's happening on the floor. He's just explaining basketball. And then he goes beyond that and then breaks down the actual the intangibles of it all. So the personalities on the floor, the feelings, the emotions. So the way he articulates himself, his feelings and his thoughts about basketball in general, he's going to be a Hall of Famer on and off the court in basketball, in my opinion. So this was kind of a win for the players outside of just the Warriors.
Yeah.
But for the players like CJ, for the players like, or former players like JJ, for the Kevin Durants, for everybody who's out there making their own media groups and projects and podcasting or whatever platform they're bringing from across all sports, the loudmouth just won a chip while podcasting and playing horribly for half that finals, a little bit more than half that finals. So the fact that he's able to do that and do both and still hold on that, I love that. Because if he would have lost, it would have been hit for a lot of people.
Yeah,
like, sure. Even in the regular season, you lose the game, and then you go podcast, you'd be like, oh, he doing the Draymond Green. Like, I didn't want players to take that hit for Draymond as a repercussion of them losing. So I'm glad they did one. I'm glad that he's able to tell Nick Wright and the rest of the media members to, like, stand on y'all word,
right?
Because y'all was slandering.
And even like you mentioned, CJ McCollum, who actually he picked the Celtics
in a real respectful way. Like, and they actually had mm-hmm. cleared for that to be shared, like mm-hmm. that conversation too. But yeah, in a real respectful way, he let Draymond know he picked the Celtics.
Draymond bounces back with his words after the game. And CJ's like, you know what? That's him.
He's like, yeah.
Like, I expect that from him. I still respect him. No love lost there. Like, yeah. I mean, no hate there. Like, we can move
I just said he was about to lose a chip. What else is he supposed to say back to me? Thanks, bro. I really appreciate that opinion.
Like, we've been on the court together. We know how we get down. Like,
cool. I'm going to lose a chip. You never going to get one.
Bet. Okay. All right. Yeah.
That's how I got to work.
That's how the talk goes. So yeah. I appreciate that. And so the sensitivity level of the old media is starting to show itself. And
yeah. Why can't you be critiqued? Like, no, to be honest, like, why do the media always consider players who critique said media as sensitive? Have y'all noticed that? Like, Kevin Durant been called sensitive his whole career. Why? Because he says y'all suck? When Bron does it to the media, it's, oh, he was really sensitive about this subject because he told y'all to be better when y'all were bad. Like, with any time, Kyrie says he doesn't want to talk to the media because y'all slander and harass him mm-hmm. and never take any type of accountability for any of the positive things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, eventually, and I've been saying it for years, eventually, though, we're going to realize the common denominator is actually just bad media presence from the entirety. ESPN being the main source, if you ask me, and their app is trash. But until we actually hold people accountable, like, I like the idea of refs having post-game interviews. You know, it doesn't have to be wildly televised.
Right.
But I would love to hear from post-game from refs, and that doesn't mean just to berate them.
Right.
But I would love to hear their perspective.
Right.
To hold them accountable in some sense. But why we can't do that with media?
Also get the perspective.
And yeah. So, they have a unique perspective that we don't get to hear.
Right. I tell people all the time, this is the two hardest jobs in sports to me is three. The three hardest jobs in sports is the goalie in soccer, the kicker in football, and the ref in any sport. Like, that's
so easily, much pressure.
Easily the hardest job.
And the most random moments. And right. The most random moments, you have the most pressure on you.
Like, I need you to stop this PK so we can move to the next round.
I'm sweating.
I need you to drill this 49-yarder to win the Super Bowl.
Von Miller coming at me.
With the wind going the opposite way. I need you to do that.
And my last name is not Vinatieri.
I need you to not blow this call.
But it's a black charge. It's a black charge, Greg. It's a
black charge.
It's a black charge. I don't know what to call. I honestly don't know what to call.
These guys are moving at all world speed,
yeah.
But I got to call it.
Yeah.
You get to watch it in slow-mo.
Four times.
Four times. I already made the call.
Before I get my one replay, you get to watch it in slow-mo four times.
I already made the call. Like, come on, bro. So the perspectives matter. And so hearing from refs is a unique experience that we should have.
No,
and not, like I said, not to berate them, but to understand, like, okay, what did you see?
It's accountability on both ends because refs are right sometimes as well.
Exactly.
Like, I understand we talk about the bad calls, but there's been calls where they played it right. There's been calls where they made the bad call and it's a makeup call. And a lot of people don't understand it because you don't see it in basketball. You didn't play it, so you didn't understand what just happened. You're like, it blatantly went off that person's arm, but it was like he got fouled and they didn't call it. Ball stay here.
Right.
Like, that's just how it works. So just hearing their perspective on foul calls, the game switching up. I would love quick post-game interviews with refs. That was just me throwing it out there, talking about everybody being accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Media, I need some accountability on their end as well. You cannot just keep saying wild things about people, their families, their jobs, their futures, and just be completely off with no basis, and then
no
what?
Repercussions.
Yeah, just up. Zero, well, that's my job. Let me go to the next blasphemous thing I want to say.
Right.
And then worse than that is the times you finally get something right. Now we got to hear about it for 4 months straight. Like, nah, bro. It's just some accountability. That's all it is.
And one of the things that we have to acknowledge that the rest of the, some of the world isn't acknowledged, and this goes for the media as well as some of y'all casuals, man, because we I'm sick of it. Steph Curry is a top 10 all-time player, man.
Hey, man.
It is what it is, bro. Yeah,
you know how I feel about it. He's the best point guard ever, in my opinion.
It is what it is. I haven't watched this, but my dad has been so aggressive about his disdain for Skip Bayless's takes on Undisputed. Now, my father loves sports. He loves basketball. His favorite team is Golden State. He is somewhat biased. But he's a real one.
He's a good bias, though.
He's a good bias, yeah. Man. He's a good bias. He can tell
you. He's not unrealistically biased.
Like, yeah.
Quality character. Quality.
Yeah. And so the fact that he has been constantly hitting me up saying, "Did you watch Undisputed?" I said, "Dad, I don't watch that.
I don't want
to. I don't
I don't turn on any Fox
I don't want to watch it no more, Dad. I'm okay. He's wilding again." And so Skip has been leading this charge to say that Steph Curry's a front runner, that Steph Curry really didn't do anything worthy of putting him in the all-time conversation after this finals. And I just don't understand how.
31.
One, you first and foremost, you said he needs a finals MVP. Check.
Got it.
He does it averaging 31.6 rebounds, 5 assists. What I called when the series started, 35-5. He does that. And then he exemplifies what a leader is the entire series. Even in game 5 when he did not play well or shoot well.
He played well.
He just didn't make a 3. Yeah. He didn't make a 3 that game.
That's it.
But he played well. I don't understand, bro. I don't understand. At this point, y'all, it's we here, dog. We here. But Steph Curry is top 10 all time. And the only question I have is, what does it say about you who still claim he's not worthy of that recognition? What does it say about that with that culture? Like, you're either a Super Bron fan and it's nasty. Honestly, we want to keep it a buck. We do not want to put their careers side by side because it looks a lot closer. And I'm not ready to say that Steph Curry is the third greatest player of all time. But if you put LeBron's career next to Steph Curry's career, it's going to get really scary. And people going to start asking questions about why LeBron is so high.
It's just a little closer than what people think. It's a lot closer than what people think.
I'm not gonna
put it over or anything like that. Like I still give it to LeBron, but
I give it to LeBron.
I 100% agree with you. I don't think people will feel happy after they start doing a direct comparison. Like you'll probably
once
walk
you start
out saying,
breaking it down.
All right, I'll take LeBron, but you're gonna realize how much closer it actually is, especially with the kind of year that Steph has had bouncing off of these last years. You're talking about Steph with bad teams. They just had like the worst record, like in the league a couple years ago. Then
literally,
he breaks his hands. He's coming back off the broken wrist or broken hand.
Yep.
We asked for him to do all of these other things. He got the finals MVP. He got the all-star MVP in Ohio in Cleveland's arena. Almost had 50.
Yeah.
Almost had 50. So then he gets the whatever, the Magic Johnson Award, if you want to claim that.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the chip. Like, what are we talking about anymore? Like, I'm getting tired of the goalpost moving.
And he carried this team. It was undeniable how he carried this team. Yes, did Andrew Wiggins play well on the other side doing his job? Yes. Did Jordan Poole start to show up towards the end and play his role?
He had players with him, but he carried the team.
He carried
this team. Like I say, it wasn't Allen Iverson, but like you can tell, it was Steph Curry we going.
Like this. There's nothing else he has to prove to me. It should be nothing else he has to prove to you. This playoff run proved something that a lot of us already knew who understood the game, is that Steph Curry has always been more than a shooter. He has always been a leader. He has always been a playmaker. He has always been unselfish. He has always been a great teammate. He has always been the guy who created the culture, cultivated the culture. So guys like Draymond Green can be Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson can be Klay Thompson, and guys like Kevin Durant can come in and play seamlessly and then leave and then watch another guy like Andrew Wiggins come in and play seamlessly. Like, it exists because he's here, dog. Yeah. Like, at this point, what are we talking about?
He can't dunk. It ain't. Wait, no, but real, if Curry was punching that joint, we're calling him the like top three all time, top four all time. If he was just punching it.
The fact that we were sitting here, and at one point during the playoffs, we were thinking Ja Morant was better than Steph Curry already. They were. The fact that that was being a conversation
is blatant disrespect, man. It's blatant disrespect. I expect some of it from the media. To your dad's point about Skip Bayless, he got a whole lot of bad takes that he has to defend. That's why he makes more bad takes. So, in order to defend all of his Kevin Durant takes, which Kevin Durant actually dislikes this man, so it's hilarious. It's like. He put all his eggs in hating LeBron by loving Kevin Durant. And then Kevin Durant dislikes you too. But to keep those takes up, you're going to have to discredit Steph Curry too because you're trying to credit Kevin Durant while he was there. Which why I don't think you can't just like change your opinion when new information is presented to you. I don't understand why that's so much of a foreign idea. But
pride, dog.
Yeah, it's ignorance at that point, and I can't wait for a lot of people to get displaced. I don't want to sound ageist, but there is a generation that needs to get moved out of media sooner rather than later. And I'm not saying the entire generation, but it's a lot of them.
Now, I mean, yes, in terms of the profession, in terms of those that we see on a regular basis, I understand where you're coming from. Like I said, this goes beyond them because
I was thinking about the people that influence it. I'm talking about the producers too. It's a lot that goes.
No, for sure. Like, yeah. I agree. Like in terms of the entire profession, in terms of producers and the people that's visible, the talking heads, all that and the third, there is some level of a gap between how the league is evolving and how they're still perceiving it.
Yeah.
We've already talked about that a bunch of times. But this goes beyond that. Like I said, this goes to people who are our age, maybe younger, or people who a little bit older than us, that ballpark, who are just fans like we are, but still choose to deny the fact that Steph Curry is a true point guard. Still struggles with the fact that Steph Curry makes plays, and he's so good, he makes plays without holding the rock for 15 seconds at a time. Like, his activity in an offense is still a facilitation at its finest. Like, we not watching the same game, bro.
Because a lot of people aren't watching the game. And I don't even mean that in a metaphorical sense, bro. I mean literally. A lot of people aren't watching the game. They watch highlights through social media. They might catch some highlights on YouTube. They might actively watch the box score while the game is going on. But who's really sitting, like how many people casually are sitting through entire games consistently? Sitting through entire series consistently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for the people who really like it, you know, love and enjoy basketball, I've seen it get dwindled down from that too. So I don't think people are watching anymore. I think all the small ways that you can digest the game is just becoming more comfortable for people. So you're going to end up with wild takes because you didn't see something. You're going to say Steph Curry. You're going to look at a box score and be like, oh, I don't know. Andrew Wiggins could have had this finals MVP because you didn't watch the games.
Facts.
Like, that's the only reason you can even sniff something out of that sort. So it's people got to watch the games, bro.
So, yeah, man. This has frustrated me to the nth degree, but I'm so happy for Steph Curry.
Yeah, shout out to him.
So happy. I never thought he needed a finals MVP to be considered in this conversation.
Wow. He was always a winner in my heart.
Always viewed as an all-time great to me. But now that he has it, now that he has his fourth ring.
Talk your talk.
Just like Bron.
People said it felt like when Kobe got his fourth.
It did.
Yeah, and I see the comparison.
It did.
You know, a lot of times I'd be like, all right, chill. But I was like, younger, like, I'm not going to make the Dwight Howard comparison, but just coming off of getting it without Shaq, KD.
Yeah.
It was just a good one, man. Yeah. The first finals MVP of your career. People wondering if you were about to run it back.
Mm-hmm. Here we are. It's beautiful. I'm looking at a list, TK. Looking at a list.
All right, who made this list?
Greatest players in NBA history, top 10. This is a rough list. I put this together myself.
I'm gonna say, I was like, I'm not mad at this list.
I put it. This is off the cuff, dog. Yeah, this I was
like,
say
it doesn't look ranked. Like you thought about the numbers too hard, but I'm not mad at the names.
Yeah, man. This is off the cuff. Greatest players of all time, and we got to figure out where Steph Curry fits. Okay, so that means one or two guys gotta slide.
Came out.
Hmm.
Oh, man. Read the list first. My bad.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna read it. Michael Jordan. LeBron James at 2, Kareem at 3, Shaq at 4, Magic at 5, Kobe at 6, Bird at 7, Wilt at 8, Tim Duncan at 9, and then I split hairs between Bill Russell and Hakeem. I'm just going to give it to Bill Russell.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd rather you give it to Bill Russell because I'm throwing Hakeem out of that top 10 so quick for Curry. Like in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Bill Russell, I'm not sure because I'm looking at this list and we're talking about 10 greatest. Right. I always talk about best versus greatest. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about 10 greatest and I think I get the realm of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Of course, nobody's ever going to agree with the ranking. So I don't really care about the rankings. I care about the name. And there's 10 names that if you gave me enough time, I might come up with this 10. I might not. But this is this is a pretty decent 10.
Yeah.
Immediately... There is no immediate, man. Steph got to go somewhere.
Now, here's what we've already kind of... We kind of stood on this hill. We got to stand on it a little bit now.
Man, hey, yo, I don't want to say Magic. I don't want to say Magic's not top 10.
No, Magic is definitely top 10. But Magic doesn't necessarily get kicked out of top 10 if we putting him we putting Steph above him. Because that's exactly what we said. We said if Steph wins this ring,
but that's who I looked at.
He's the best point guard in the NBA.
But that's how... First, let's clear it up. I've been saying this since 2017, 18. Oh, well, you've
already
that
read
Steph
it.
Is the best point guard of all time.
Okay, yes, you already started that. I said a ring would definitely happen.
But that's what we had Hakeem on that list. I got excited because I was like, I don't have to have the Magic conversation. I can just throw Hakeem off real quick. This could be easy.
Right.
But that's the issue. So Steph definitely belongs on this list because I think he belongs on this list more than Magic Johnson. No disrespect. I just said Steph is the best point guard of all time.
Right.
It just makes sense.
Right. I'm going to say it, man. I'm going to say it. And it might be some hate involved.
I wonder if you're going to say the same name I was hovering over, but I can't say it.
Tim Duncan, man.
I wasn't going to say Timmy.
I think Tim got to go. If you're looking at Larry Bird, dog.
No, I wasn't looking at Larry.
All right. I was about to have a whole
moment. No, I was going Wilder, but that's why I said I couldn't say it.
Is either Tim Duncan or Wilt?
I was looking at Wilt.
Because, I mean, Tim Duncan has 5 rings. 2 finals MVPs, if I'm correct.
2 finals MVPs, 2 regular season MVPs.
Yeah, I think that's
like
how it is.
18 all-star appearances.
Here you go. So, yes, only 6 players in NBA history have 4 rings, multiple MVPs, and a finals MVP. LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Kareem, Tim Duncan, and now Steph. Mm-hmm. All right, that makes it a little bit easier for me because I can't get rid of Tim Duncan because he's in a class of his own just in that regard.
Why? Magic was mentioned, and I can put Steph over Magic. But and I can also make the argument Kobe wasn't mentioned, and we argue that some MVPs just get robbed from people. I can't really do it off the awards thing.
Okay,
you know what I mean. That's why I was looking at the names as a whole, and it's really.
But
it's
did you ever feel like Tim Duncan got an award that he robbed somebody of? That's the context.
But that's
here.
Why I didn't say Tim Duncan. You said it.
So that's what I'm saying. I said Tim Duncan got to stay.
Then what we arguing? Will off the list.
Will ain't winning that, like, winning much, you know? Yeah, he got 100 points and all, and that's, you know, I'm about to say 100 points is cute. I'm about to be wild.
But that's why I said the name I'm thinking of is Wild.
No, nah, man.
But that's the only, nah, if we're talking man. About Tim, because I can definitely make the argument. Like, for example.
Yeah.
We're talking about a top 10 list. We're not talking about being better, because I think Steph, I told you, I put him above Magic. If we're doing a soft put, like, mm-hmm. Of course, I think he was a better individual player than, like, oh, a player like Bill Russell. Mm-hmm. I think he was better than Larry Bird. We can have arguments about that. But it's not about individual talent that mm-hmm. we're discussing. We're talking about the greatness of a player in their career, in their time, etc.
Right.
Man, it's really hard for me to kick anybody off that list.
Big time.
Wilt's going to be the easiest. And that's saying something.
That's saying a lot.
That's saying something.
That's saying
a lot.
But he's definitely the greatest player in Warriors history.
Yeah, facts.
He's definitely the best point guard in the NBA of all time at this point. I ain't gonna say definitely. That feels disrespectful.
I believe he is.
That's disrespectful. Yeah. It's debatable. I'm willing to debate that. That's why
I
didn't correct
you. I was like, it's debatable. I am agreeing with you, though.
It's debatable. But at this point, I have to stand on it. I say that Steph Curry is the best point guard of all time. Can't wait for Brian to be back because he's going to hear this. He's going to lose it. Magic
him arguing with himself. Steph Magic. He's going to implode.
Magic is his favorite player. So I would assume he's going to ride with Magic. But if the easiest name is Wilt.
I think the easiest name is Wilt. I think a lot of people might argue Tim Duncan. But
and that might be revisionist. That might be just because of who we are and our generation and how we see the game and being so distant from Wilt.
I would say we watched him. Right. We didn't watch Wilt. That's why I'm more quickly to keep Tim. I ain't watched Bill, though, but I ain't even touched that name, so I guess it only means so much.
Bill was winning.
He was winning.
I don't know, man.
I think Steph is definitely in that list. Like I said, the rankings are shuffle. This is a hard list for me to knock off anybody on, but if I had to re-rank it or something, I know Steph is higher than Magic, so I know Steph is on the list.
So are you just okay? I know your list looks a lot different from mine in terms of if the numbers, if you went by the
not
numbers,
not too much, honestly.
I think you got you have Kobe.
I just have Kobe higher. That's it. That'll be the only
Kobe
argument.
Higher than Shaq.
Yeah, Kobe's higher than Shaq. I mean, Magic Johnson called Kobe the greatest Laker of all time. Like it's certain things where it's just like I think Kobe's higher than. The only people I'm arguing on Kobe with is Bron and Jordan, really. And those arguments I don't even have anymore. I'm just like, take your pick. But everything else is just like, those are my top three. Everything else looks about right.
To be what y'all think, honest, man? I'm asking the rest of the world, what y'all think? Y'all let us know, man, because we ain't going to find out today.
Is it good? That's a good list you put together.
This is debatable. This is big time debatable, man. But Steph, like I said, Steph Curry belongs in here, man. Somewhere in the ballpark of 8 to 10, no doubt. No doubt. I won't debate that.
Wherever you put Magic, put Steph one right above him. That's all I ask. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. I don't care.
Y'all drop y'all top 10 list in the chat, man, and in the comments. Let us know where y'all have Steph Curry now after his finals MVP and his fourth ring in 8 years. All right, we got to know. 2 MVPs, 1 unanimous.
Greatest shooter ever.
403
seasons. Most threes in a postseason.
Changed the game.
Most threes in finals history.
Literally changed the game for anyone who plays it. Fast break threes now. That wasn't a thing before him.
Yeah, Timo Cruz is about to get benched.
Yeah.
Now you recruit players like that.
Don't even bat an eye.
That's gravity.
That's impact. That's top 5 impact.
Mount Rushmore. Add another face if you got to.
Oh, man. We about to get out of here, y'all. Quick shot, though. Christian Wood traded to the Mavs. This happened right before Game 6, like right before, I think, like that Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But this came out of left field. Mavericks reportedly received Christian Wood from the Rockets, and the Rockets received the 26th pick, Boban Marjanovic, Sterling Brown, Trey Burke, and Marquise Chris. A lot of reporters are saying that this trade was more so pressed, you know, for the Rockets to get Alperen Sengun more minutes. So they could see more of him. He'd be featured more in the rotation. So slide Christian Wood out of there. And then it works in regard to the Mavs because they did kind of need a guy like this. Can play the post, but also can stretch it. Good roller, good lob threat. Christian Wood kind of fit that in terms of being around Luka and Jalen Brunson if he was to resign, which I don't think would be a problem. But yeah, what do you think of this trade? It's the first one off season.
It was like a whatever trade for me. I didn't see it as giving more minutes for anybody that's currently on the team. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just going to be opening up for one of the three that they know they're going to draft.
Right.
You have three bigs, essentially, coming into the draft for the top three.
Yeah.
They're probably going to settle on Powell, it looks like, unless Chet slides to three. But it looks like he's going to go to OKC. So, in my eyes, it was just Christian Woods is not a part of the plans for that rebuilding team.
Yeah.
I think they sold him at the right price, I guess. I think they're going to flip most of this and try to get another pick. But I'm not really mad at the trade. What I do like for the Mavericks, though, is having a guy like Christian Woods, who seems to be a quality 20-10 capable player. I'm not saying every single night, but definitely you can expect somewhere around 20-10 from him. So just getting that consistency back, from a big, and not having to rely on Dwight Powell for all of that.
Right.
I think I'll really like that for the Mavs. But this trade was cool, but it didn't move a needle, so it didn't really – it wasn't like a blockbuster thing for me.
Yeah, last season he averaged 18 points, 10 boards, and 39% from three. That's what Luka needs.
That's a big that can play anywhere in the league right now.
That's what Luka needs. So I expect him to continue these numbers. I would be shocked if he takes a real dip because – Luka's going to kick it. Once that pressure comes, he's going to kick it, try to find the open guy. Yeah. Jalen Brunson's going to kick it, trying to find the open guy. I would suspect his number to be right here.
As long as he can be more of a defensive anchor, and mind you, he defends the ball decently. Defends the rim decently, excuse me. But that's all I'm really thinking about, just locking down on the rim. But you're going to have him, I think, because Dwight Powell wasn't giving up in that trade, I don't believe.
No.
So you're going to be able to play them both at the same time because Christian Wood has the ability to stretch the floor. Yeah. We were just talking about stretch fours being, like, such a commodity in this game, especially ones that are able to defend out there, too. So I'm not saying Christian Wood is Bam.
No,
I'm not saying that at all. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not saying he can guard the perimeter extremely well, but I do like having a guy like that, especially when you're able to pair him next to a hard hustle guy like Dwight Powell and get some of the offensive load off of him. So some of those rim dives and lobs are going to be more towards Christian Woods and get the scoring load off of Luka, like somebody who can effectively just get the ball on the block and go to work. And I'm not saying he's the greatest of any kind of post player, but he's good.
Yeah,
he's really good. So
it's a plus trade.
And yeah, I think they won that trade.
A lot of people are saying this was a fleece in some way. I'm like, no, I think everyone got what they wanted out of this. You know, they wanted Christian Wood was a body that the Rockets needed to give up so they can see some other guys kind of.
They got a first round pick,
right.
Quality role players that they can move elsewhere.
Right. So in that regard, Christian Wood comes in the Mavericks and. That's a plus guy, you know, who will be able to play in playoff situations. And
he's happy to be in a playoff situation.
Exactly. You know, he did not want to, you know, leave out in his prime playing in another bad situation like he was caught in Detroit. So, wins, if you ask me. These are wins.
Yeah.
So.
All around. Yeah, one of the few trades, I'm like, everybody walk away happy.
Right. All right, y'all. We out of here, man. Shout out to the Golden State Warriors again. Shout out to Steph again, man.
Woo!
Y'all gonna love these guys one day. Y'all don't love
when they gone.
Y'all don't love when they gone, man.
They ain't going nowhere no time soon. They about to run it up again. Early prediction for next year. Who wins it?
I don't know.
Way too early.
Leak Mike like this. Clippers.
You know, it's weird. He told me the Clippers the other day. That's why he asked me. Who you got, Keith?
Don't hold me to these predictions, America.
It's the way too early pod. Way too early.
I feel like it's going to be a couple trades that go crazy. And then it's going to be a team to get somebody that's just like, oh, they shouldn't have got him, but this is going to work out.
I was thinking about that. I was like, well, what if that Heat get the Donovan Mitchell trade?
Yeah.
But you know what I'm going to do?
What you
gonna do? I'm going to go with the Nets again. They're going to get it right.
I was going to say
they
Nets,
get 2 years out of me. They get 2 years out of me.
I don't trust that they're going to get it right.
I'm rolling the dice. This is the way too early. Right. So by the end of the summer,
I might be have off some real that. Answers. Yeah, but
that's funny.
If I could be positive and optimistic,
yeah, no, I'll go Heat. That feel good.
That feel good.
Somebody go super positive and say Lakers, dog.
Yeah, I like positive, not like you delusional. Know. Yeah.
We appreciate y'all, man. We appreciate y'all. It's going to be a fun summer with the Minor Hoops Pod, man. We love y'all. If y'all new to the show, new to listening on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, you name it, man. Like the show. Excuse me. Rate the show. 5 stars, 4 stars. Anything below that, you can keep that. Because like my mama say, you ain't got nothing nice to say. Don't say nothing at all. If you watching, if you watching us in 4K, man, go ahead, like the show, subscribe if you're new, comment below and join the conversation. I want to know y'all top 10 after this series, man. I want to know where y'all putting Steph Curry. And if Steph Curry's in your top 10, I need to know why y'all not putting him in there anyway.
So, I don't need to know. Let's cut that short. No. If he's not in your top 10.
I need to know.
Your top 10 wrong.
Tell me so I can tell you crazy.
All right, that's fair.
What's really going on? All right. But we appreciate y'all, man. We love y'all. As always, eat, sleep, breathe the game. We love you. Be safe. We out.
Did you ad-lib that whole thing?
Good chunk of it.